This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Hope you're having a great day. Macca and Tass.
Macca. Macca, it's, I have said this before. Occasionally we get somebody lobbying us to come onto the show, and we actually like that. So if you've got any good ideas out there, let us know. We are always happy to hear them. So we did receive an email during the week from Hamish Blunk and Dr. Louise Flynn, who are keen to come into the studio to talk about some work that they're doing in suicide. So we have in the studio Hamish Blunk. Good morning to you, Hamish.
Morning, how are you?
And Louise Flynn, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Great to have you both in the studio.
Thanks for having us.
So your area of interest is suicide. Talk to us a bit about suicide. What is going on in the suicide space? How many people are killing themselves?
The Australian Bureau of Statistics just recently in September released the latest figures. And in Australia, overall, it's over 3,000 people take their own lives each year.
And predominantly men?
Yes, it's three quarters. 75% of those who take their life in Australia are men, yeah.
And age groups?
The age group with the largest proportion, really, of those taking their lives are actually middle-aged men. The disturbing figure or statistic about young people is that suicide is the leading cause of death for people between the ages of 15 and 44. That's for both men and women.
That's actually an important nuance, really, because a lot of people think that most suicides occur in the youth area, and that is actually not the case.
That's correct, yeah.
The most suicides occur in that middle-aged male group, but the highest proportion, I understand, are in the older men group.
Yeah, it's what we call the highest rate of suicide is actually in men over the age of 85.
Wow. Look, I wanted to ask, there's, you know, we have, you know, the ABS statistics and, you know, there's a lot of urban myth around suicide and particularly getting a handle on statistics about the LGBTIQ community is not easy. And Hamish, you know, this is something that you're looking at quite closely. First off, I think with statistics often we can say that this is a base figure. It's not going to be less, it's likely to be higher. But tell us about in the LGBTIQ community.
Good question.
What we know.
Well, it's actually really difficult to get clear statistics in the LGBTIQA+ community simply because when somebody dies by suicide, often it's not reported whether they're gay or lesbian or LGBTIQA+. So they're actually not recorded by the coroner. But what we do know is there's studies being done about suicide ideation or people who are thinking about suiciding. And what we do know that 22% of same-gender attracted and gender-diverse young people between 14 and 21 have thoughts of suicide. And transgender people, 18 years and over, are 18 times more likely to have thoughts of suicide.
How many more times?
18. So because we have these statistics about the thoughts of suicide, we can only then extrapolate, I suppose, that the rates of suicide within the LGBTIQA+ community is actually a lot higher.
Hamish, do you have any data on suicide attempts as opposed to suicide ideation?
Not in front of me, no, I don't.
Lynn, are you aware of what the statistics there might be?
I'm not right this minute, but my understanding is that they're certainly at greater risk of attempting suicide,
And that's why we wanted to do this podcast, because this podcast is more about suicide bereavement, so supporting people who are affected by suicide rather than suicide prevention per se.
Sure.
I mean, talking about suicide openly and supporting people who are bereaved by suicide is suicide prevention, because there can be higher rates of people who attempt suicide after somebody they know has suicided. But that's the real focus of the podcast, to support people who are affected by
it. So let's go back a little bit before we actually dive deeply into the podcast and the work that you're doing there. Talk to us a little bit about why LGBTI people might be experiencing high levels of ideation and suicide attempts.
There are a range of reasons. Some of them are that discrimination within the wider community. So people might be bullied when they're at school, for example, or they might face discrimination in their everyday life. And so that puts pressure on LGBTIQA plus people. And then there is a misconception that just because somebody is gay or lesbian or transgender, that that's the reason that they might suicide, which is actually a fallacy. That might be one of the contributing things to other risk factors, but that's not the reason why these people suicide.
There's been research conducted which clearly demonstrates that the reason that there's a higher rate of attempts and suicidal ideation is actually directly due to homophobia.
Yeah.
So it's the social environment that people are in, not the actual being LGBTQI itself.
It's, you know, we just want to say, and also, you know, if people are feeling, you know, uncomfortable or challenged by this subject, Lifeline 13 11 14. And also there is QLife 1800 184 527. And another one, a callback service, 1300 659 467. Saturday magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass.
Macca, we're speaking all about suicide this morning. We have in the studio Dr. Louise Flynn, who's from Jesuit Social Services, and Hamish Blunk, who's actually one of our people here on Joy.
He is.
He podcasts a show called Let's Talk here on Joy. Now, we've been talking a bit about suicide and some of the issues related specifically to our community. You have actually produced a podcast series, I believe. Tell us about that series. Tell us what you try to do.
So the podcast series is a 14-episode series, and it focuses on suicide bereavement. And we have a specific focus on the LGBTIQA plus communities and their bereavement in this experience, because as we talked about before the break, suicide attempts and therefore suicide rates in our community are a lot higher. So we wanted to kind of bring it out in the open a little bit. We wanted to be able to talk about it openly and talk about it in a really safe way. And that's a really important thing that we need to learn how to do. So I interviewed four people from our community who have lost someone to suicide, and they are Alice, Bo, Lara and Peter. And they're really brave and really open about talking about their experience with losing someone close to them that suicided. And their stories are really the key to this podcast, because we hear their stories, and then we have Louise Flynn, who's an expert, a doctorate in psychology. And we also have Joe Ball from Switchboard, who, you know, is the CEO of Switchboard. And so they talk about the experience that these people have had and reflect on that and talk about those issues.
And so were all of these four guests of yours experiencing the loss of a queer person?
Yes, they were. They were either a partner of or a very close friend of, yes.
That's very courageous. That's really courageous.
Yeah. They're really emotional stories, actually. Mm. And as part of the podcast, as I said, we'll use parts of their interviews within the podcast, but we're also having their full interviews available for download as well. So I think people can download them, listen to them, and they can probably relate to some of the things that these people are going through if they're experiencing this as well.
Perhaps this is a question for you, Louise, but what sort of themes came out of those interviews? What were the reactions that people had, and perhaps what was their experience or perception of what was going on with their loved one?
Well, I think firstly... losing someone to suicide is a very traumatic experience. So it's an incredible experience of devastation, trauma and shock. And then also just really relentlessly, in a sense, asking why, how come this has happened, trying to understand it. And then part of that becomes really trying to work out. People often feel very guilty, like they should have seen it coming, they should have been able to prevent it. Was it something they did or didn't do or said or didn't say? So those experiences are really difficult to deal with, very complex. And certainly what they also told us is that it takes quite a long time to really re-establish a sense of self again and being able to sort of really engage in life again.
And also another thing that came up over and over again was this feeling of isolation during this experience, that they didn't know where to go to for support. They found it hard to talk to people, even close family and friends. And so having this podcast is one of those reasons, because I experienced the suicide of my ex-partner as well. So I understand that idea that when you are first going through this experience, you Google things and you can't actually find that support necessarily, and particularly for LGBTIQA plus people who the experience is a lot more complex in so many ways, not having that support there is really a problem.
And I think one of the questions, you know, people, you know, in my experience in this area as well, you know, there's a question, which is why. You know, you want to know why things had got to the point.
And you may never know, Maka.
And you may never know. The resource, and which to my next question is, there's a lot of activity on a state level, but also at a federal government level. They talk about mental health and they talk about suicide. There's a lot of money being...
The two aren't necessarily linked, though.
No, they're
not,
no. But let's specifically about suicide. A lot of talk and a lot of money being thrown around. Is that money hitting the spot? Is it correct? Is it being targeted in the right way that's actually going to make some difference, or is it not?
I think actually it's too early to tell. Because there's been a range of programs put in place over the last 2 or 3 years, and I think it's too early to tell if that's going to really make a dent in the rate of suicide. The other thing is that we're quite hopeful about in Victoria is that there's a Royal Commission currently going on into Victoria's mental health system, and they've certainly put a focus on suicide and suicide prevention. So I think many of us are very hopeful that that also will provide some priorities and direction for future initiatives and spending, which...
So it's one person a day?
Nine or ten.
Three quarters of...
Across Australia, that's right.
Across Australia. So, you know, this is a... For me, this seems, you know, we have campaigns around road safety, very high-profile campaigns, very expensive. We have campaigns around drink driving, drug driving, you know, work safe.
Oh, you want a campaign, do you, Macca?
Well, I'm trying to think about a campaign that I've seen. I don't know if there are any, but a campaign...
Can I reframe the question?
Yeah.
And I want to ask our two experts here.
Yeah.
What are the interventions that work?
Yes, that work.
What will prevent a suicide? What can we all do in our everyday life that might help prevent a suicide?
Okay, that's a big question. There's a number of levels to it. One is, firstly, being informed and being educated about suicide, warning signs, risk. The other is, actually, when people do seek help for how they're feeling, if they're struggling with a mental health issue or they are feeling really struggling with life and stress, that those services are actually available and respond well and compassionately. And sometimes, unfortunately, that doesn't happen at the moment. So there's a number of different levels to it. There's our community level, and then there's the service system level of that, where there could be improvements across.
So what Mac is looking for is a population level intervention, which is what a campaign might be. I mean, each time I drive over the Westgate Bridge, you know, it stares at me black and white, that huge fence. Now, that fence was you know, constructed really to prevent suicides and also to prevent possible murders, because the thing that actually instigated that construction of that fence was chap who threw his child or his... No, can't say that. Is that wrong? Is it Hamish?
This is one of the things when we talk about suicide safely, and one of the things is that we don't talk about location and method. And that's kind of what that was alluding to, I guess. So I think it's probably not a good thing to talk about that specifically.
One of the things we can, just to pick up the issue that you're raising, actually, is what's called access to means.
Yeah.
And what we know is that reducing access to means does actually reduce suicide.
So the fence, in fact, does that.
That's right, yes.
But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't address the issue as to why people feel that, you know, they want to take this action. It's
That's right, and the reasons why people become suicidal for individually, that's always very, very complex. And I think on the issue of campaigns, I mean, it raises the issue of partly, as Hamish has already said, it's about how we talk about suicide. Yeah. One of the reasons why there's been such a silence about it is that people are very nervous about it. There are risks in speaking about suicide in an irresponsible way. And what I think many in the suicide prevention sector have done is become much more informed and knowledgeable about what are the safe ways to talk about suicide. And I think there are people who are thinking that a campaign, a very public campaign, would be a good idea. But the wording of that, the tone of it, all those things need a lot of care and consideration. So I think there's a determination now that the silence about suicide has not helped. But we also need to be very mindful about how we speak about it so that it's done safely.
So another way to look at that might be to deal with those factors that actually protect people from suicide. So a campaign that actually addresses social isolation, for example, or is geared towards increasing social connectivity or connectivity to support services might be another way to frame those. So do you have a view about that, Paul?
Yeah, I think all those things, because certainly... connectedness versus isolation is relevant when we're talking about suicide. People also feeling that they can participate in community and social life. That's also another really important factor in suicide, because many people don't feel that they belong and that they can make a contribution to society. And they're some of the things that really do make a difference to how people experience themselves and then how they connect and engage with others.
We've got a listener message. I want to preface this by saying, not specifically about this message, but if someone's concerned about a friend or loved one, what should they do? And there's a listener, so who should they contact? If you, we come to that in a sec, but a listener message here. I've had 35 years of mental illness. I've lost 5 or 6 friends to suicide. Key, and the question mark, is hope and how to find it. So I suppose, again, you know, there are different ends of the question there. If people are concerned about a friend or loved one, what should they do first off?
Well, the really obvious thing to do is to give them the numbers of some support lines like QLife, which is a LGBTIQA+ specific helpline. It's only available 3 p.m. to midnight every day, but there's also other services like the Suicide Callback Service and also Lifeline. So I guess that's the most obvious thing to do. And I guess what they do say is you can actually ask the person directly, are you feeling suicidal? There's actually nothing wrong with asking that, and, you know, using euphemisms about, you know, are you going to hurt yourself or something like that, they're actually not as helpful as actually being direct. And then
ask
the question, and then from there you can go and call a helpline or go and get help from emergency services, for example.
What about Beyond Blue now? They have an app that's been designed to provide people with some support. Are you familiar with those?
Yes, I am. It's what's called a safety planning app.
Yeah.
And someone can go through that app and work out, you know, when they're in a good space, work out what they're, when they become or start to feel suicidal, then what they might do.
And that's freely available on the...
It is. It's called Beyond Now.
Beyond Now, great.
Yeah.
So it's a series of, how many podcast, guys? Was it 14?
14 episodes, yes.
14. It launches on the 30th of October.
Where do you find it?
Yeah, where are people going to find it?
So it'll be available on the Joy website, so joy.org.au/letstalk. The launch we're having is the 30th of October, so it'll be available from that date. We're also having a launch event at the Wheeler Centre on that night, and Sally Rugg is actually going to come along and launch the podcast.
Great.
Also on the night, we're going to have one of the people with lived experience that we interviewed talk a little bit, and we'll play a bit of the podcast for people to listen to, and also probably have like a musical or performance kind of part as well.
Sounds great.
If people do want to come along to that, they can go to the Joy website again, joy.org.au/letstalk, and there's a link there to the event where they can register for the event.
Hamish and Louise, before we wrap up, do you have any final messages that you'd like our listeners to hear?
Well, I was thinking about the person who texted or communicated with us, and I think hope is sometimes difficult to find, and one of the things that we know is very helpful for getting hope is actually connecting with others who are going through the same experience. That feeling connected, feeling understood, feeling accepted is incredibly valuable. So that's I guess a final offering.
Great. Hamish?
Yeah, I'd reflect that as well. I mean, in all the people we talked to, the thing that they said to help most was talking to people and feeling connected and reaching out and getting help. That was the key thing that they did.
And I think, look, this is an issue I'm glad it's we're talking about. For too long we haven't spoken about it. There are dangers in talking about it. We acknowledge that openly. I think this is an incredible initiative. I'm so proud that this is... You know, Joy is involved in this, and it's going to be carried on. Joy, look, I want to thank you both. This is not an easy area to work in. Pretty much everyone I know has had some experience with suicide, either personally or, you know, one degree of separation. I really encourage people, do talk about it, do search, you know, for answers and people to speak to about it. Hope is really important.
And don't forget our telephone services.
And don't forget, you know, Lifeline, Q-Life. No, go for it, Hamish.
Yeah. So the three numbers again are Q-Life, which is 1800 184 527, which is 3 p.m. to midnight every day. That's an LGBTIQA+ specific line. There's also the Suicide Callback Service, which is 1300 659 467. There are 24/7 telephone and online counselling service for people affected by suicide. So if you have experienced that, you can call them and they will call you back to talk about it. And also Lifeline, which is 13 11 14.
You're not alone. There is a lot of support there. Don't be afraid to talk about it. I encourage people, you know, to talk about it. And, you know, if you're feeling really uncomfortable and difficult about this, seek out someone to talk to. That's, you know, it's there. It's available.
Thank you for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
Dr. Louise Flynn from Jesuit Social Services and Hamish Blunk from Joy's very own Let's Talk.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.